Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, Mindy Patterson, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between rural and urban America. I tell you what, animal ownership is under siege in this country. And for about 12 people, I think most folks are not paying attention to what's happening. I get a daily news alert with animal abuse cases. Today, Northwest Arkansas reporting more animal abuse than ever before. The state of Oregon is putting in a forensic science program just to deal with animal abuse. And the state of New Hampshire is trying to up its laws because of the high-profile cases, which I was there last week. And it's all bogus. Mindy Patterson, the Calvary Group, who stays on top of these issues, is one of the 12 that's monitoring what's going on. In fact, she rides day and night trying to provide solutions. Mindy, where have you been? I haven't talked to you for so long.
It's been too long. Thank you for having me. We're playing whack-a-mole every day all over the country. The local, state, and federal level, things are happening to animal owners and animal enterprise that is really unspeakable. And it boils down to overzealous prosecutors, sympathetic judges, animal control officers that are given way too much power. Basically, they're hell-bent, and the animal owner is rarely given an opportunity to cure any situation that they believe is in violation of, you know, any law, what have you. They just roll in, take animals, and you are forced to defend yourself.
So Thursday and Friday, I went to New Hampshire because that thing just stunk to high heaven. I knew there was something going on yep. there that we were not getting. I posted a couple of videos from New Hampshire talking about how blatantly Tina Fey had been set up. And I'm glad I brought that. There's no regret in what I'm about to say. I was bombarded, Mindy, with about 12 active cases that are very similar from coast to coast. And those are just the 12 that I knew about. Yeah. And then another raid happened in Las Vegas where the lady, I think it was yesterday or the day before, 40 felony counts. They came in and seized her rabbits. And what troubles me, and I know it troubles you, for the most part, animal owners just turn a blind eye and say, oh, well, it must be another bad actor. It's not a bad actor. If you own animals, you are a bad actor in the eyes of these folks that we're trying to deal with.
That's right. It's never going to be good enough for these people because they have an ideology that is not aligned with anyone who is practicing animal husbandry. And these instances that you speak of become a big payday for these animal rights activists and their organizations because that's how they raise money from these circumstances. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they confiscate and sell the animals, or they quote unquote rescue and adopt out the private property of the accused. It's happening, like you say, all over the country. And as a result, animal owners and animal related businesses live with the daily terror that any fraudulent claim, anonymous tip, God forbid you get sideways with an ex-employee or a family member or a neighbor. They live in fear that they're going to post something on Facebook. These internet campaigns could result in law enforcement showing up at your door. It's just ridiculous.
And what I've also learned is that if you're using Facebook, and there seems to be a common denominator about purebred dogs. If you're breeding purebred dogs, no matter whether it's two or 200, and you're selling them on Facebook, you automatically become a target.
Absolutely. Facebook is the bane of our existence, because these activists hide behind their keyboard and anonymous identities, and they literally terrorize people. And we've even had several instances in the last year or so where animal control officers have shown up at the door of someone who may not even be raising animals, but maybe tried to sell a parakeet or an extra kitten from their barn online. And animal control puts one of those door hangers on saying, call me, you're in violation. Well, it turns out these animal control people lurk online to see who's selling animals online. I mean, really, don't they have better things to do? Trent, do we not have bigger fish to fry in this country? I truly don't believe we have an animal welfare crisis in our country. That's the thing. They're thwarting us into defending ourselves when this is not something that is something, you know, who's getting to decide what is, as you said earlier, you know, with these alerts coming across your newsfeed, who gets to qualify what's abuse? Who gets to decide what's inhumane? That's what I want to know. We know the answer to that. That is a rhetorical question, but it's the wrong group of people. And like I said, we have bigger fish to fry in this country, and that's what frustrates the heck out of me every single day, you know? We have more important issues than these caning to animal owners and animal-related businesses. And what's really sad is they're going after the law-abiding. Going after the people who aren't breaking any laws.
Mm-hmm. You know, case in point, Tina Fey, which is obviously heavy on my mind because I was just there. She was convicted by a jury of 17 different counts of animal neglect that are normal day-to-day animal ownership issues, like Cherry Eye, like Happy Tail. The dog is so happy it wagged its tail, it gets an abrasion or something on its tail, and that's a criminal act of negligence? You got to be kidding me.
Well, you know, you're guilty till proven innocent.
Yeah.
That's the way they want things to roll, and it's no different than what's happening right this minute with HSUS and their quote-unquote horrible 100 campaign, which was, you know, just released again yesterday. And we've got these activist groups, mainly Humane Society of the United States, that issues a Freedom of Information Act request to obtain inspection reports and information of these breeders, which, by the way, most of these non-compliant items, as you said, are no big deal. Most of the time, that when the inspector leaves, before they even get back in their car to leave, these items are typically cured. And why is USDA posting information of breeders that has not yet been adjudicated? You know, that's something that I find troubling. As you say, most
Mindy
of the times they're issues.
Go into greater detail about that. I want to make sure I understand and everybody understands what you just said about USDA posting.
Sure. Well, if you are a USDA licensee, whether you are a breeder or an exhibitor, you are regularly inspected by a USDA inspector.
Mm-hmm.
When they inspect, if they find something that is not in compliance with the Animal Welfare Act, you received a non-compliance write-up. It's either an indirect or a direct violation. Now, as a licensee, you have an opportunity to appeal and challenge these write-ups. Oftentimes, you're given a certain period of time to do so since the inspection. And most of the time, people are successful in getting those removed from their record. If you have a direct violation, it's a little bit more complicated of a process and takes a little bit more time, but is oftentimes doable. You can, whatever the circumstance is, you may have evidence accordingly. Oftentimes, an animal could be under veterinary care, and you know, you are thwarted into a process of proving that situation. There's just different circumstances. But when I say that, you know, they're posting information that has not yet been adjudicated, that's what I mean. If you haven't gone through the appeal process or even, you know, if you take it to the nth degree where a direct violation, USDA may try to relinquish your license or what have you, and you go to the kangaroo court that is USDA and to defend yourself, you haven't even gone through this process yet, but you're still guilty till proven otherwise in the eyes of citizens that FOIA request or Freedom of Information Act requests your information that USDA posts inspection reports online under the guise of transparency. And transparency, where in my personal view, has become more of an invasion of privacy of private businesses and private citizens. And the Freedom of Information Act was established to give transparency to government, not the American people. And these activists are really the only ones that request the information anyway, and these inspection reports and private information of breeders and exhibitors. So it gets into the wrong hands to begin with. I mean, how many people are, you know, if you're interested in buying a puppy, how many people even know to FOIA request an inspection report from a pet store?
Zero.
Not many.
Zero. Only people who are trying to end dog breeding and ownership.
Yes.
Know that. Mindy,
that's right.
Mindy Patterson, the Calvary Group, Wildwood, Missouri. Forgot to mention she's from Missouri. That's relevant, and where we will come back with more Rural Route and Mindy after this. Superior Livestock selling today. 22,300 head of cattle. Get full details about the cattle that are selling, where they're from, and what the summer sale season looks like at www.superiorlivestock.com. It's the same place to find your rep. Welcome back to Rural Routes. I'm Trent Luce. I feel like I should issue a disclaimer. If you are afraid to hear the truth or don't know what constitutional rights are actually eroding from you, then turn this off, because you will not be happy with what you hear. If, on the other hand, you want to be part of the solution, like Mindy and myself, engage and stay in tune so that you know exactly what's going on. Would you support that statement, Mindy?
100%. Absolutely.
Just to remind people how fair, and you mentioned the USDA Kangaroo Court. Is that court still under the administration of Sarah L. Conant, who, before she started working for the USDA, from Missouri, I might add, was working for the Humane Society of the United States trying to end animal ownership? Would that be the same Kangaroo Court?
That is the same Kangaroo Court, although I don't know where Sarah Conant is exactly right now. It's my understanding she has been moved somewhere within APHIS, but, you know, USDA has pretty much scrubbed any information online about Sarah Conant, so there's no way to know exactly where she is. But she was in the courtroom when I visited Doug Terranova's trial in spring of 2015. She sat in the back of the room with Bob Gibbons from USDA, who is heralds from Fort Collins, Colorado, from their USDA office. And they were there. She was present. I saw her in the lunchroom at USDA. She's very much there. It's my understanding she's still there. And you know what frustrates me, Trent?
I know you know this, but
you can't fire government employees. I think we should pass a law that says that government employees can be fired. You cannot fire them. You either have to defund their position or move them someplace else. So
no, I did not know you couldn't fire them.
Yeah, they're protected by government unions.
Yeah, great. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why there's been a lot of shuffling taking place under the Trump administration, and not only in the USDA, but in all departments, because some of these people have been embedded for so long, and they've been implementing their own bias, not working with science or the will of the people.
Right. Right. Well, the agency has grown to be so large. There are days I scratch my head and I think, why exactly is USDA overseeing the pet industry and animal breeders exactly? I mean, keeping our food safe is one thing. You know, getting down into the weeds of, you know, inspecting exhibitors and people who breed animals, I think belongs at the state level.
Yeah. When you get down in the weeds, you're undoubtedly going to get some chiggers.
Yes.
I suppose
very much so.
Depends on
those
where you're
nasty.
At. This particular story just really PO'd me, because Oregon has so many issues. Oregon as a state has a crime problem, has a employment problem. It has a human crisis taking place. It has a constitutional problem. They're trying to pass laws now where Sheriff Palmer's even said, I will not, as the sheriff of Grant County, I will not uphold that law because it's unconstitutional. And they devote the money to put forth a forensic veterinary group. And the forensic veterinarians from around the world gathered in Portland for an annual convention. You mentioned earlier, do we not have any other, you said bigger fish to fry. This is such a misguided forensics for animal abuse. It just irritates me to no end.
Well, I can see you and ante up on one here. In King County, Washington, we currently have a member who owns a pet store in King County, Washington, and they are battling a local county veterinarian who is also the animal control officer who's decided to promulgate a rule. Just because of this one pet store that sells puppies. They're the only pet store in the county of King County that sells puppies. And they've been in business for 40 years and have been very successful. And this Gene Mueller, who, by the way, is a transplant from Chicago and has been previously involved with a group, a Chicago-based group with ties to HSUS called the Anti-Cruelty Society. He's the veterinarian and animal control officer in King County who showed up about a month ago saying, we're going to promulgate a rule that is going to require you to put placards of all the private information of the breeders from where you obtain your puppies on the windows of every cage in your pet store. And so we're helping them oppose this rule. And in the process, this is where it gets fun. They've hired a third-party mediator for the hearing on May 25th, a week from Friday, with an entity called Enviro Issues, which basically is dialoguing with everybody. I say dialoguing in air quotes, dialoguing with everybody about how this will best suit their community. And so this regional animal services in King County is holding a hearing on this and holding this pet store hostage with the idea that, you know, they're trying to protect this invasion of privacy. But not only that, most of the information is already available to the purchasers of puppies and King County government officials. They're not keeping anything from anybody. They just don't want Joe Blow to waltz into their pet store and have access to this private information. Because the real benefactors of this information are the animal rights extremists, as you said. So this is going on. That is a situation that's happening in city councils and county councils all across the country. Franklin, Tennessee, we just defeated one of these overreaching things just a couple weeks ago. And we basically put together a campaign that created such a kerfuffle in Franklin and exposed the city council and mayor that they've decided to table it for now being the key words. So, you know, when you say we're under siege, Trent, it's at the local level primarily, city council, county council. And you love this about King County that I was just talking about. This really fries my cheese. They want transparency, but they did not post this rule anywhere on their website, on the county website. They posted it.
Yeah, we want transparency in what we want you to know, but what we don't want you to know, we're not making public. That's transparency right there.
Exactly. They posted it in the Seattle Times. Who reads the newspaper? No one. So we've got all this, you know, laid out on a campaign on our website, and all the hyperlinks are there. This Gene Mueller clown, we did a bunch of sunshine requests and found that he had been talking to a woman activist, animal rights extremist in Southern California to devise this plan, upon her urging to promulgate this rule. I mean, this is insane. I mean, we've got all these animal rights groups that are playing footsie with lawmakers and government officials. It's these non-governmental agencies and government agencies coming together that are working with lawmakers at the local and state level to put these campaigns together to put animal owners and animal-related businesses out of business because they don't like what they do. They're picking winners and losers, and that's not their job.
So we have screwed up, meaning you and I and everybody else, because 2018 started off with the right momentum. The Humane Society of the United States, it was finally uncovered, is a culture of sexual harassment And I'll even go so far as to say borderline prostitution, using their young ladies who care about the cause and coercing them into sexual favors for the cause. That's Paul Shapiro's words. We got rid of Paul Shapiro and Wayne Pacelle, we think. We don't really know what they're doing. And yet this organization, Mindy, has maintained credibility with lawmakers and with every single citizen in this country when they are so corrupt. And it's a culture of sexual harassment that, by the way, goes clear back to the early 90s when Kitty Block, who's now the CEO, started and got her first advancement because of sexual harassment. It's a culture of sexual abuse, and yet they have all of this credibility. How come we didn't, what should we have done that we haven't done?
Well, we've all been shouting from the rooftops that it's a corrupt organization. I think there is a confusion among many that the Humane Society of the United States is what they say they are. And I think that's where the confusion begins. And, you know, we need to repeat that like a bad campaign speech over and over and over again, because, you know, they seem to slither out of these situations because they are so corrupt, and you know, they clean up their crime scene, so to speak, and they just move on to another day, like many politicians do. You know, we are so used to we're in this society today where there's so much corruption. I think a lot of Americans just tune it out. They're so tired of being lied to.
And there's a court precedent to back up what we're talking about. They had a RICO fine of $25 million because they went unconstitutional against Feld Entertainment. And look where that got us. Feld Entertainment's gone. HSUS still here. $150 million a year. We've got to take a break. Mindy Patterson, the Calvary Group. We need to talk about where the people can go get more information when we return with the third segment after this. The MPS Agra computerized sow-feeding system. Feeding sows every single day, exactly what they need. Full details at mpsagra.co.uk. Welcome back to Rural Routes. I'm Trent Luce, Mindy Patterson, alongside the Calvary Group. Fortunately, Mindy knows nothing about male behaviors, so she believes anything I tell her. We'll just leave that at that. Okay, Mindy. How is Mark doing, by the way?
He's doing really well, thank you. Hey, you know, I've been married for 33 years. I'm not new to the male behaviors, so it's all good.
33 years. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
It's a long time for you to tolerate one dude.
It's gone by fast.
Yeah.
Well, you were talking about all the corruption.
Oh, see how you grab a hold of that and change the subject. That's positioning right there. I was going to tell you that we've been 25 years, so we're trying to catch you, but we never will.
That's awesome.
Okay, now corruption. Oh, before we talk about corruption, make sure that people know where to go get all of this information you're talking about. The website.
Oh yes, the website. The Calvary Group. .com, and Cavalry is spelled like the military infantry, not the church, CAVALRYGROUP, Cavalry Group. And make sure you visit our Action Center. We have a lot of campaigns that are active right now that we're working to protect our members and many different animal enterprises across the country, from the horse carriage industry. We're trying to stop pet sale bans in certain counties across the country and cities. So we're working on a lot of different things. And with the legislative sessions winding down in many of the states, that is also a place that we typically have a lot of information about legislation that is important to keep an eye on. And we provide platforms that make it easy for people to write letters and respond to legislators and lawmakers at the local, state, and federal level. We realize that most of our members and our supporters are busy people caring for animals. So we try to make things as easy as possible for people so that they can just click a button and send letters to our lawmakers and oppose or respectively support legislation. that affects them.
Before we move on, I thought about Debbie Hay the other day when I was coming home from New Hampshire and felt a little guilty. We did one piece with Debbie. I've not followed up. Do you know her current status?
It is my understanding that they're still in a holding pattern. I just saw Debbie 2 weeks ago at the Newfoundland dog show in Michigan, just north of Detroit. She apparently owns Newfoundlands and has been in attendance of that big national dog show many times. I didn't expect Debbie to be there, but she showed up, and we finally had a chance to meet face-to-face. Basically, they're being held hostage right now with this idea that there is a pending carriage ban in Chicago, and they plan to have an open house sometime in June to invite the mayor, Rahm Emanuel, and the alderman of Chicago. I don't know that they expect them to be there and show up to actually visit the carriage stables, but they are going to invite them. So that's going to be a great opportunity to, you know, campaign and make sure that people can see, talk about transparency. They want them to come and see the stables. They want them to see that their horses live better than most people do, you know?
So I heard you just say that Trent and Mindy have got to plan a trip to Chicago. What's the date on this?
We do. You know, I don't know if she has a date nailed down just yet. I believe it's the middle of June. I'll find out and let you know.
Okay.
I think we should definitely plan to be there.
Yeah, because I don't think I've seen you since the last time we sat in a carriage together.
I know. That was so fun. That was a wild weekend. Very busy and very fun.
Yeah. And, by the way, horses are still pulling carriages in Central Park of New York City. That's the moral of the story.
Amen.
Okay, you were going to talk about corruption, and then I took you off in a different direction.
Well, we've had a front row seat to this nightmare of overreach from government at the local, state, and federal level. So we've talked about this in endless conversations, Trent. And, you know, the over-criminalization of licensees in animal enterprise using and these agencies that use bully tactics to force law-abiding, hardworking families out of business. And it's still happening. And I was just going to say before my phone failed that, you know, the swamp isn't draining. And, you know, it's no secret that we are big supporters of our President Trump. And all that he is accomplishing is pretty amazing, actually. But the global progressives are not giving up. And what I would say to your listeners is that now is the time that we must engage like never before and demand that those that we've put in office, that they fulfill their promise to unshackle the American people and engage in basically releasing the government agencies from their grip. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to be beacons of integrity, though, as we go forward and not allow our lawmakers to acquiesce to these liberal screams and calling for compromise. And that's the thing that has been very frustrating for me, is that at the local and state level, we're seeing that a lot of these agencies still have a grip on animal-related businesses, and because there's so much going on. You know, most American people have no idea about our theater of war in the animal-related world. As you said earlier in the show, that there's maybe 12 people that know what's going on. It feels that way. It's so frustrating because, you know, but someday people are going to wake up and say, hey, why is it going to cost me $5,000 to get a new family pet or a new puppy?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because we've been screaming at you for the last 10 years and trying to explain that the animal rights groups are forcing these laws that are going to make it more onerous for people to breed animals. And that's what's happening in not just the pet industry, but animal agriculture as well. Food. Imagine that.
So Landry, today is her last day in seventh grade, and she's got a really good science teacher. And 2 weeks ago, they went on a field trip. The Omaha Zoo is touted as one of the best in the country. They have a dorm area where school kids come in and spend the night at the zoo. It's very educational. And when she came home, she said, Dad, you know there are no bears and cats? lions, tigers at the Omaha Zoo anymore? I said, no, I didn't know that. But it falls into, and it's incrementalism, because it happens in little ways. New bans are placed on the ownership. You know, everybody thinks it's, well, Feld Entertainment, they caved. They're no longer doing a circus. They no longer have elephants, this, that, and another thing. Incrementally, it's one step in the coffin to animal ownership. And now kids who go to the Omaha Zoo and parents do not get to learn about the true habitat and wildlife and reproduction and diseases and challenges that they have to maintain these populations.
Exactly. And you know what's really sad about that is that too many people are falling for the propaganda that private ownership and these having these animals in human care is counter to the conservation efforts that need to take place. I mean, how many times do we hear that these animals belong in the wild? Oh, you mean the wild where poachers live and the habitat that may not be as readily available to these species and, you know, the natural habitat that where poachers live and
they live half as long as they would in captivity because they're actually provided with vaccinations, have a veterinarian, and they don't have a cheetah. Trying to eat them for lunch every day.
Exactly. So conservation efforts are being thwarted by these animal rights groups that are spreading false information about zoos and about private zoos and private ownership of these animals in captivity, and they're disappearing. Instead, they're going to what they call a quote-unquote sanctuary, which is anything but, and that's where these animals go to die. It's like hospice for these, you know, exotic animals. And that's where these animal rights groups are collecting these animals. After they put people out of business, they take their animals and they put them in these sanctuaries where there is no breeding program. There is no conservation efforts taking place. They're not even well taken care of. And typically these animals are gone, deceased within a couple of years. It's sad. And you know, that's something that we need to talk more about. These sanctuaries are a ruse. And that makes me sad. I didn't know that the Omaha Zoo did not have any bears or big cats. That's awful.
Supposedly, there is an elephant or two being relocated there. Not there yet. But Landry said, and I have not followed up because I was going to follow up. I want to find out exactly why. But she came home and told me, she said, Dad, they don't have bears or tigers.
Well, you know, as you said, incrementally, a lot of these zoos don't want to even, you know, have these animals because they bring a liability of threats and threats from PETA. PETA is putting on, they're pressing the gas big time on all of these different entities.
They're terrorists in the fact that they only accomplish anything through making you live in fear. They don't do anything otherwise. They're just PETA.
They really.
Yeah, Ingrid Newkirk herself said we're media sluts, was her word.
How perfect. She's bizarre. Well, they are suing people. They're thwarting people to defend themselves. That's where their money... I mean, who donates to PETA these days? I mean, really, you'd have to be living under a rock to not know that PETA is a terrorist organization. But Tucker Carlson had PETA on 2 weeks ago on the show.
About what?
Well, he was talking about, I can't remember what the topic was, but it was...
good timing, because I can't let you talk about it anyway. We have to go to our last break. Mindy Patterson of the Calvary Group will be back with the final segment. We got a situation in Colorado we've not even talked about. More after this. Once again, reminding you that Superior Livestock Auction is selling today. You can follow the sale at superiorclicktobid.com. It's also on Dish Network Channel 232, DirecTV 603. And as we continue to move down the road, there are many more program cattle and opportunities to market through programs. I believe 17 different marketing opportunities and niche programs through Superior right now. Another one that is not currently available through Superior, is more regional in its makeup, is one that I'm investigating myself and probably will breed cows to Piedmontese bulls, a Lone Creek Cattle Company folks. Have shared some beef with me, which is incredible. But in addition, it really fits into the program of targeting a niche market, capturing more of the consumer's food dollar and providing a consistent base of product time and time again. Two copies of the myostatin gene, ensuring safety. And I can honestly say without question that the most tender piece of beef I've ever eaten was that Piedmontese stripped steak this past week. If you're interested and want to see where you could fit into this niche marketing opportunity, LoneCreekCattleCo.com. Welcome back to Rural Route. I'm Trent Luce. Mindy Patterson, the Calvary Group, alongside. And we have a front row seat in the theater. I like that analogy. That's perfect. It seems like I'm irritated on a lot of levels today, which is true. But why would any credible news organization continue to turn to these organizations without credibility and use them somehow as a platform about what's right and wrong in animal ownership?
I'm convinced that many people, including people in broadcasting, and this would also include many lawmakers, do not know the difference between animal welfare and animal rights. I think that they believe that groups that, like PETA even, are advancing an ideology of animal welfare, when that's the deception of it all. I mean, it's really scary, but that's the reality. I think if it comes down to sound bites, we need to make sure that people understand that animal rights is not animal welfare, and these animal rights groups masquerade as something they're not, advancing their agenda through legislation and regulation to destroy animal ownership.
So you've got a situation in Colorado that you were telling me that we need to discuss?
Yes. We have a member, Dr. Allison Brown, who is an engineer and world-renowned for her work on GPS and satellite navigation. So she's no slouch. Her hobby has been fox hunting. And she lives on, I believe, a 40-acre parcel in Chaffee County, Colorado, which is basically Salida, Colorado. And she's lived there for quite some time, I believe at least 10 years. And some crab apple from California bought land adjacent to her property and immediately began, about a year ago now, almost a year ago, started complaining about noise nuisance coming from her foxhounds on Allison's property. And it turns out it was never really about the sound. It was the fact that Allison basically was hunting, doing fox hunts. And this lady didn't understand what fox hunting was all about and launched this full-blown campaign with the county council of Chaffee County to basically shut this lady down and get her animals off her property. This is the kind of bully tactics that, and the fact that the county council didn't just tell this lady to pound sand infuriates me. So instead, they actually created a piece of legislation that was voted on unanimously to limit the number of dogs that can be owned on one's property in Chaffee County to 7. So it's forcing Allison to either get rid of her dogs and reduce the number to 7 or move. So she's decided to fight back, Allison has, and she's lawyered up and has decided to fight this. But, I mean, this is her property. She should be able to use her property as she sees fit on her 40 acres, like she's been doing for quite some time. And, you know, she's even involved with the Master of Foxhounds organization, and she's been a very avid foxhound hunter. And this woman next to her that moved in next door just doesn't like what she does. So she's destroying her life and her property. It's crazy. And that's basically the short of it. And we're allowing this bully to come in and convince the county that she shouldn't be doing this. She's an animal rights person from California, clearly.
Mm-hmm. They shouldn't let any of those whack jobs get out of California. Oh, where did you come to Missouri from, Mindy? I forget.
I bounced around in other states before I came here, but I do herald from Southern California. But I lived there 30 years ago and grew up in Southern California when agriculture was king. Ronald Reagan was governor. We were a Republican state. You know, I grew up on the back of a horse in Southern California, and it was a great state. We had our problems just like any other state, but it sure as heck was in a position when I was there as revering animal ownership and animal enterprise and agriculture. It's flipped over on its head and lost its way.
And this question is tied to what we're talking about, I believe, but I want your perception on this, and maybe you're not. I would think you're on top of it. And I'm only on top of it knowing what I hear and talk to people, because I was just in California Range Rights and Resource Symposium. Yes. They have enough signatures to get this state of Jefferson momentum on the ballot to possibly break California into three separate states. I think it's relevant into what we're talking about today. Do you think that has legs?
Well, you know, I think anything like that is relevant because, you know, everyone is so quick to want to throw California under the bus mm-hmm. and push it into the Pacific Ocean. But it's relevant because any state could fall prey to what's happening in California and allow the, you know, California, it's the coastal elites, as I call them, that is really running the show and doing most of the voting. But if you look at the map, most of the state is red Republican and voted for Trump. Right. It's just that strip along the coast and all the
about four counties,
stars.
Actually.
Exactly. And that's why the Electoral College is so important that we keep that in place. You know, there's rumblings of dismantling that, and we need to stand by the Electoral College, in my opinion, to protect every state from the urban activists and the urban voters, because they do not understand or appreciate the rural America and the farmers and ranchers and those who are feeding them. It's a little frightening, but that, I think California is a great case study.
In March, I was in Alberta again with the bison producers, and an Alberta bison producer told me, he said, "I hear you guys talking about getting rid of the Electoral College. You do that and you'll become Canada. Don't let that happen."
Yep.
He was more emphatic about it than most people I come across in the United States. And you're spot on. If that happens, we are really in trouble in rural America. You think we're in trouble now? Wow.
Yeah. Well, it all boils down to the Constitution. You know, I like to think that I'm about solutions. And what I see, and I know you do too, everywhere you go, people are not, everyone is, they know that there's a problem. And I think that it's clear based upon the last presidential election that, you know, Americans don't like to be lied to, that they want a president and an administration that, is just an open, you know, mic, if you will, to what the government is doing, government transparency. But, you know, what's going on at the local and state level is just as egregious. But we still have to defend our Constitution. And that's where things are getting dicey at the local level, as we've talked about today. Mm-hmm. We need to hold these elected representatives in city councils and county councils accountable for what they are slated to do to serve the people. But instead, they're playing footsie with these non-governmental agencies and activists that want to destroy our American way of life and our Constitution. I mean, as you well know, there's legislation being passed that chips away at due process. That's just become the new norm. It's insane. So if you've got citizens that never compromise on issues of private property and never compromise on our Constitution and never collaborate with those who seek the demise of animal agriculture or animal ownership, we would be getting this train back on the track.
Mindy, we're 3 minutes. I want to spend 3 minutes talking about success stories. I'll start by telling people that yesterday in the state of New Hampshire, mostly precipitated by the Tina Fey case, they did not move a bill forward that would have put tougher penalties into animal cruelty, animal abuse cases. I'm using their terminology because it fell. The governor talked about he was sad that wasn't going to cross his desk. Obviously, that's a success story. Where are the other success stories that can give us some hope and momentum that we can fix these problems for, like, Dr. Allison Brown in different places around the country?
Yeah, we need to be louder about our success stories. To be honest, we finish one and we move on to the next the next challenge. We just don't take the time to talk about them. But we've had several in just the last couple of weeks. We were successful in stopping a pet sale ban legislation in Franklin, Tennessee. I mean, it was tabled. Currently, in the last 2 to 3 weeks, we have successfully allowed, by pushing back at the local level, the circus in Massachusetts and the state of New York, and now they're coming to our backyard in St. Louis, Garden Circus would have otherwise have been banned in counties in Massachusetts and New York and Missouri if we hadn't challenged the local authorities into why they were just deciding that they were going to ban. There was no good reason, but we showed up and we challenged them on these things. They had contracts with the circus. You know why they didn't want to have them come? Because they were getting pressure from PETA. They were getting pressure from their sponsors who were getting pressure from PETA. And we basically emboldened the local authorities to stand firm and hold up to their obligation to the circus. So, and by the way, all these venues were sold out.
Right.
6 nights in Walpole County, Massachusetts. 6 nights were sold out for the circus. So these kids were able to see these animals up close, personal, and see these tremendous acts. So that's what immediately comes to mind when we think of success stories. Had we not been able to push back for Garden Circus, then these venues would not have gone public in New York and Massachusetts. Most of the time people will say, oh, well, those states are, you know, well, what state isn't right now? Every state I know has a crazy county, you know.
Yeah,
so, and we have also, even Nebraska, even Missouri, and we have been pushing back on behalf of all of our members. There's constant extortion of dog breeders, people who buy a puppy and claim that something's wrong and nothing's wrong, and they their knee-jerk reaction is to blame the breeder. And we step in, unravel the situation, and always learn, 9 times out of 10, that the situation was irresponsible pet ownership on the part of the new puppy owners that didn't care for the dog properly, and something went awry and they blamed the breeder. And because of social media and Facebook, breeders oftentimes live in fear that that's going to come back to haunt them. So sometimes they relinquish refunds and a new puppy when they shouldn't. And so because we're there for our members, we step in and intervene and protect the breeders and the reputations by holding the purchasers accountable. So those are things that are going unsung. It every day is crazy busy and insane, actually, but we're doing our best to stand up for everybody. But I'll tell you, it's we're at a sprint daily, and it's sometimes hard to keep up.
Yeah, I'm familiar. Moral of the story, folks, no longer live in fear. Mindy Patterson and the Calvary Group are here. We have successfully journeyed down the road connecting rural and urban America. My sincere thanks, as always, to Mindy Patterson. I'm Trent Lewis. Both of us reminding you that all roads do lead to a rural route.